Welcome to It All Boils Down to This, the podcast where father and son take the kitchen table arguments and heated discussions from their home directly to yours. Jim and Jack Boyle will explore the world as only they can. We might even let a few guests join the fun. So sit back, choose a side, watch the water temperature rise, and enjoy stimulating generational conversation about sports and life. Welcome to episode 34 of It All Boils Down to This. I'm your host, Jim Boyle. And as you can see, Jack is a little preoccupied with his fantasy pitchers tonight. Had a great weekend watching NCAA basketball, fantasy baseball, baseball. We got the Masters coming up, a lot happening now as we get into April, middle of April, Jack. So real quick, just your overall view of the two championship games.
My overall view of the two championship games, the first one, I'll start with the women's just because we got the higher ratings, I guess. It was like 18 to 14 million. One of them was on, you know, cable television, whatever. The girls' game, South Carolina's just, they were too good. They were a super team, basically. It was just like, if you swapped, like, Caitlin Clark for anyone on that South Carolina team, South Carolina goes undefeated, and Iowa's not there. Now, and even if you swapped that, like, 6'7" girl, and put her on Iowa. Iowa's not.
The good news is
South Carolina is just too good. It didn't matter.
South Carolina was undefeated without Caitlin Clark. Of course, if you put her on their team, they're going to go undefeated.
The main point was going the other way to Iowa. No one else would have been able to do what she did. She had a great year. Struggled a little bit in the UConn game. I thought Geno had a very good game plan for her. National championship came out 18 points first quarter. They started to defend her a bit more. Couldn't keep it up the whole game. Obviously, she got a little bit tired. It looked like. It is what it is. I mean, South Carolina is just the better team. They're going to win that game all the time.
That is the truth. And South Carolina also went like 10 deep, and Geno only went 6 deep. So that impacted. I thought you're right. Geno or Emma had a really good idea on how to try to stop her and defend her. And that was evident on Friday night. What are you looking at?
Nothing. Just go. What do you think?
You got all sorts of things going on down there. So I thought they did a great job. She still is going to score her points. It was a good basketball game. That the South Carolina team was just so much better than they were. And they ran through. It was just a matter of whether or not they adjusted when she scored the 18 in the first quarter, and then she already scored the rest of the game. I think she had about 30. Biggest ratings though, Jack. What do you think? Biggest ratings for even bigger than the men's tournament.
Yeah. No, it's the Caitlin Clark effect. I mean, all these former UConn players hating on her. Like, this is what you want. Eyes are on the sport because of her. That's what do you want me to say?
Right.
It's sad that it's over. I don't think like the WNBA will see her. Like I'll tune in if I see the Indiana Fever, whatever they're on TV, I'll tune in and I'll watch her play. But I don't know how much that like ratings wise it'll translate there. But we'll see. She's one of the best college careers I've seen in my lifetime.
Right.
In terms of like everything, not just honestly, it might be the biggest in terms of like just the ratings aspect of it. Just one single player drew from here to here. In my lifetime, I don't think there's anyone like it, men's or female.
So the question comes down to is it sustainable? The game is better than
it was. No, it's not. No, it's not because it was just her. It was her that was getting these ratings. So those ratings.
But again, let me ask the next question then for you. With the NIL and the way it works, Juju Watkins out at USC, and there's a couple really nice players on both USCs, Southern California and South Carolina. Do you think that she's been – Caitlin Clark was really, really good, no doubt. Pete Maravich level score, everything else. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson level bring ratings back to the NBA, no doubt about it. But do you think as the advent of these women are going to be in your – not in your face, but they'll be on advertisements, they'll be everywhere, that'll help to raise the game? Because in reality, isn't it the star factor that draws eyes?
Yeah, but I don't think anyone's going to be close to Caitlin Clark's level for a while. Like it doesn't happen every year, every other year. It happens once in a generation. You get a player like that. It was the way, you know, the way she played in this era of basketball, the way she could shoot the ball like that, the way she could pass the ball in transition, you know, those half of her assists were from behind the half court line. And then just everything about like the way her career played out, like how she beat South Carolina and undefeated South Carolina team in the Final Four. And then she had the LSU thing kind of happen where there was kind of a lot of talk about the aftermath of that game. We've talked about it for forever with, you know, injuries, Kim Mulkey, the LSU players, all that after that game. And then she got the whole build up to this year, and she's had the whole year basically is the star of the show because of what happened last year. So it's not like there's a new Caitlin Clark and you're just going to take the throne. It won't happen for a while.
Well, I agree with that. I think the ratings juggernaut that they built with her is never, it won't come. That'll recede. The title will go out. But I think it's helped advance it as a spectator.
Sure.
For everybody. Right.
Sure.
And sure. So back to the Dawn Staley, who won her third national championship. It's
stupid. It's cheating.
Why is that cheating?
They're just because they're too good. It's not even fun.
Connecticut on the boys' side was too good.
I was going to say that this Connecticut thing's weird that they've won like 12 straight tournament games by 13 points. Something about like Connecticut in the first round last year, I think they played Iona. Might not be true. Is that where Pitino coached? I don't know. But I think it was. They played Iona. And they were like 9-point favorites. They since that game, they've won every game by more than that.
Correct.
12-3.
Correct. But again, back to Dawn Staley, who we're talking about. Let's talk about GOAT. We always like that the greatest of all time. And of course, right now, Caitlin Clark is the greatest of all time. She's brought the game way up.
You're not going to say this, right? No. That she's the greatest of all time. She's not even close.
The girls' game?
Yeah, she's got ways to go.
I agree with you, but who? She got the most publicity. She was hot leading scorer in college.
Sure, but to call her the greatest of all time.
I'm not saying that. Is she the
greatest? Okay. Because that they would be like.
Is she a goat or not? Is Dawn Staley a goat or not?
No. What is.
You can't even name me a college. You'll name one because they were complaining about the UConn girls.
Okay, Pat Summitt.
Huh? Yeah.
Pat Summitt.
Dead for like 20
years. Okay. I can't name you one. All right. Forget. This is the stupidest point ever.
Not a stupid point.
You saying that she's the greatest coach of all time?
No. I'm talking about the GOAT for Caitlin Clark.
Okay. Then what does that mean? The GOAT? She's the greatest. Yeah. I think Caitlin Clark's the greatest women's basketball college player of all time. Yeah.
What I meant. I'm Dawn Staley. I'm going to watch Dawn Staley. I don't.
Like I said, is Patrick Mahomes the GOAT? Calling Dawn Staley the GOAT.
I was calling Caitlin Clark a GOAT, but you weren't listening to me.
No, you were Caitlin saying Clark Dawn came Staley.
Out. Oh, I said Dawn Staley came out and said she is now. She's a GOAT. She's not one. She's one of the many GOATs. We'll call it in college.
Yeah, the greatest of all time. There's not many of those. There's one. The game. I know, but that's the whole GOAT talk. It's like more
somebody
right
lifted
now.
The game who impacted and had a change in the game. Like Cheryl Miller back in the 80s.
Cool.
The way the game got played.
Okay, the word's not GOAT. Does anyone call Magic or Larry Bird the GOAT? No.
They should because they were GOAT. Hey, Tommy T calls Larry Bird the GOAT.
No, you're right. Yeah, that is true. Sorry, Tommy.
Tommy T would call Larry Bird the white Billy Goat. That's what he would call him.
No, he just thinks he's the GOAT.
I know, but that's what Tommy is. So, it was a very good tournament. It helped people watched it. The level of the game has increased. The talent level is so much better than it was even 10, 15 years ago. I know that you're going to bring Breonna Stewart and all those Donna Tracy and Sue Bird, all the great Connecticut players who were great and they were dominating. And the sport is now better for all of them being in that. But it can only get better. The games were exciting. It's fun to watch. You and Mom rooting for. Your mom rooting for Iowa, me rooting for South Carolina. Of course, I won that one, so it was fun. But let's go to the men's side, which was the ratings weren't as good. It ended up being a blowout. You would pick Purdue. Purdue, again, didn't make this. They took 7 3-pointers in that championship game. They're a 3-point shooting team. Hurley completely outcoached Painter. Always happens to Purdue coach. Got to give Danny Hurley credit. What do you think?
Yeah, good for Danny Hurley. You won two in a row. They've dominated. They made it boring. So I don't know. They've got good players. Their team's kind of different. Like these back-to-back championships, there's a lot of like turnover from the team. Like it's not like it's like the same team that won two in a row, which means it's just a great coaching job. So good for him. Good for Hurley. Men's college basketball doesn't really do anything for me. And guess what? Women's college basketball next year is not going to do anything for me either. So it was just special event that Caitlin Clark was here that got me into college basketball, but I really don't. It's crazy to say. I don't care.
My question on watching Connecticut play: what is and I watched Temple all year.
I don't have an answer. You're gonna ask clinical question here.
No, it's not a clinical question. I watched us play Temple play all year. Why the hell can't our players play with the intensity on defense that they showed?
That's not fair. I think Temple's players do well. First off, they're point shaving, so you got to factor that.
They weren't point shaving.
Back it off, though. Temple players did play pretty hard on defense. They couldn't make any shots.
Well, no, but I'm saying
their biggest guy, 6 foot five. So
all right, I also 6 foot five looks like Karl Malone Jr. I also find that they were everybody that championship game was well coached. They knew where they're supposed to go. Their intensity on defense was a level above even Purdue's. And I marvel why. And I was talking to Coach Amico at the high school. He said, you can't teach effort and attitude. You just can't. And I thought they out effort them, they out talented them, but they out effort and attitude.
You can't teach talent either.
Huh?
You can't teach talent either.
Well, I agree with you, but you know, if you have marginal talent, if you put an effort and attitude in, you might win five games.
Correct.
Right? But they for the 40 minutes, they went right at it. They ran their game plan. And I hate Connecticut. And you know that I hate Connecticut. And I just despise everything to do with the University of Connecticut. But I have to credit the coach and the coaching staff because they executed the game. They put their game plan together and their kids executed it to a T. Whereas Iowa looked like they didn't know what they were doing. That number three, their big 3-point shooter, he couldn't play defense. They took 7 3-pointers. So what Hurley did was, okay, Edie, score 40 points. Edie had to work hard for his 40 points. So we can transition to our favorite place, which is the Celtics 3-point
shooter. I was about to say, you know who they needed coaching them was Missoula.
Right. I'm right. And it's just amazing. It's amazing the team who was the third best 3-point shooting team in the league, in the nation last year, comes out and shoots 7 3-pointers. They tried seven. What is going on in the minds of a coach? What is going on in the minds of the players?
Oh, yeah. Purdue sucks.
Can't they adjust? You know?
Well, Draymond Green said that Edie quit.
Edie quit. He scored 40 points. We can beat the crap out of him.
I know. It's Draymond. Everyone hate everything Draymond does. People hate now. I love it because there was this period of time where I don't want to talk about UConn anymore. Screw you. Get good for them. You hate them. They suck. Blah, blah, blah. We'll go to the NBA because the NBA, we're getting to actually the good part of the NBA time.
You're right.
Draymond Green now. There was a time in during 2020, COVID, he was at like the desk with an inside the NBA, and he still does that with them. But everyone's starting to really like him. It's totally flipper. Everyone hates Draymond. And that's just great because he's the most annoying person on the planet.
Yes,
The Celtics. Yeah, Missoula, 3-pointer. Did you see the Celtics? They became the first team in NBA history to have four different players win Player of the Week in one season.
That's amazing.
Just one of the stupidest stats.
It's irrelevant.
I know. But it means they have four pretty damn good players if you're winning Player of the Week in the conference.
So they've done it. As Celtics, they're never going to get credit in the town until they win, right?
Obviously, and they don't deserve it, really.
But they have put on a stretch here. They're 15 games up in over Milwaukee, who they play tonight, right?
Yes. There was some that I think they were like their record was like 34-12 or something, and now they're like 61-16. So they've been on like a really good like past couple months.
They've been on a little bit of a roll, and they just have to, again. The consistency with which they play defense is really, I think it's ticked up when they have, as they get late in the year, because a lot of the bench players play defense, right? But if they, again, back to if they're going to shoot 43s and they make 30% of them, they're beating you every day. They're just going to beat you. That's the way the NBA works. You know, because think about it. In college, it's all big guys, right? You have, in the NBA, Embiid's coming back, right? Jokic is a big dude. Anthony Davis is a big dude. Then you got your good boy, Karl-Anthony Towns. He's a big guy. Celtics have potential big guy by bringing Porzingis in. Even though he's not the greatest defender, he just does so many other things offensively that make them successful. So it's going to come – I think it comes down to health. I'm amazed that they're continuing to win. I mean, who made the shot? Tillman made the game-winning shot the other night. I mean, it's a whole bench. They put all bench players in against the Kings the other night, and they destroyed them.
Well, no, they didn't. I think the Kings came back in that fourth quarter. Hauser was like 1-for-18. But
the Trailblazers.
Well, yeah, it doesn't count.
Yeah, but that's it. So the Kings, they won on the Tillman show. But he's not playing his players in the fourth quarter.
They're playing a couple minutes now here, and it's like Porzingis and Horford are sitting. But Milwaukee has everyone, and they're in Milwaukee. They're 3.5-point underdogs.
That's amazing.
They have no size. That's the problem.
Right.
Like, who guards Giannis tonight? Cornette?
Maybe. Yeah, why not? Tillman will get the job.
No, he will. He'll play like 30 minutes and guard him. I bet he starts.
So both Porzingis and Horford out. Okay. No, but again, back. That's a lot of things happening. I think the play-in tournament is all set except for the seedings because Atlanta, Chicago, and whoever else. So the Celtics are going to get one of those.
Well, it could be UConn.
You know what? It could be. And they would be a 20-point favorite over everybody but the Celtics because they have great players.
Mm-hmm.
And then the West is the big game tonight, L.A. and Golden State. I think Golden State clinched as well. So they're going to be in the play-in tournament. But and L.A.'s won a lot of games in a row, which is always a sort of a false flag for teams. Who do you like? Who do you like? Give me the four teams you like in the West that they could challenge.
I don't know. I'll go the Nuggets. Honestly, if anyone beats them, I'll be surprised. I'll be happy. I'll be very happy as a Celtics fan. I'll take anyone besides them as a Celtics fan.
I know that, but let's say
Minnesota. Feed me Denver, not Denver. I feed Dallas. Everyone's hot on Dallas right now. They would sweep Dallas. I would kill to play Dallas.
I would only worry about the Clippers. The only team I'd worry about.
You're right. That's another team that's all right. But
they're good.
I can't see them winning the West.
And the Nuggets. I think I was reading something today about the Nuggets and Timberwolves were tie, and it's important that the Timberwolves win because they need home court advantage more than the Nuggets do. And I still think we're on a collision course of the Denver and Boston collision course.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But again, they got to get by the Miami Heat, no matter what.
Boston, I mean, the Celtics have a million game lead. It's more from first to second than it is from second to 10th, which is the last
spot. Right.
And the last play-in spot only is like 6 games under 500. That makes that even crazier.
Right. That does. So we think it'll be an interesting last week. Then they're going to be off like
from it won't be an interesting last week.
No, from the West Conference.
Oh yeah, for the Celtics. No.
But then they're off until they're a week off. Everybody gets the week off except for the playing teams, right?
Yeah, they just wait and see because they have to wait 2 games there because they play the winner of the third game that gets played.
Correct. Okay, final question on the Celtics: if one player was going to get hurt in the top five, which player would you think would be the least impact of him getting hurt? Oh boy, I stumped you.
I don't know because I don't want to. There's a guy I don't want to. I don't want to say it, but you're going to disagree with me, and you really are not going to. I think it's Jaylen Brown.
Oh man, you're nuts. You are.
I love Jaylen, but I can't say Derek White or Holiday.
I think it's Holiday. They could afford to. They get enough defense. They're long on defense enough.
Yeah, you know what? Because Derek White might not be as versatile a defender, but he's a good defender still. He's a better scorer. It's between Holiday. I think it's if you were to rank them, it's between Holiday. I'll give you Holiday. I think Derek White is higher. I'm dead serious. I think he could be higher than Brown.
Only because he could do a little bit more defensively.
And just because there's – at the end of the day, I'm not – like, this is a take from 2 years ago.
I understand.
There is a little bit still of redundancy between him and Tatum. Still.
Correct.
There is – between Derek White and Tatum, none. Between Holiday and Tatum, none. He's the second-best player, Brown. And I guess I can't say – I guess he is the second-most important player. I guess – but I don't think he is. I guess I don't think he is the second most important player.
I understand the point, but I'll say that he has the ability by himself to win the game when Tatum has an off game.
Sure.
I don't think either of the three guys have that ability. So if you take him out of the equation, you can't afford a Tatum bad game. If you take Holiday out of the equation, or even White, you can afford Tatum having a bad game because you can understand that your all NBA player is going to step up.
Okay, here's the thing. If they didn't have Brown, I think there's a chance they could still win the championship. I don't think they would, but if they didn't have Jaylen Brown, I think there's a chance they could still win the championship. What Jaylen Brown gives you though is he makes you a 60 plus win team, and he gives you the chance to what they should do is walk through the East and beat Denver in 6 games. That would be if Jaylen Brown plays to his peak. You're gonna win the championship with these.
That's true. Mike, the question is, if you take Jaylen Brown out, the chance of winning the championship might go down to 45%.
Yeah, it'd go down further, but yeah.
But if you take Holiday out, it only goes down to 65-70%.
I guess.
Last year,
I just think they'd struggle immensely without Holiday.
Yes, because he provides it's a whole different world when he's out there. He and Derek White defensively are just so locked down on guards, no doubt about it. But I think they put Jaylen Brown on some of the best players defensive, and he's done the job shutting people down. Like, let's say you're playing Milwaukee. Let's use them as an example. Somebody's got to shut down Lillard, and somebody's got to shut down Giannis, right? Giannis is Horford and whatever they decide to do. You could put Brown on and Tatum on Lillard. And you could put Tatum on Giannis, I think he would stop him. But if you take Brown out, then it's just, I don't know.
It's a stupid question. They need all five of them. I didn't not give an answer. I gave a pretty strong answer there.
Good. Now, the next three or four, you think will have the most impact on the playoffs down the stretch here, on the playoffs? Which of the four guys coming off the bench?
I don't know. I remember against Golden State, actually, in the finals, Pritchard came on and hit some shots. I mean, you'll say in the playoffs, I know the game slows down and all that, and defense, and they'll try and pick on Pritchard and all, but I still think his offense is such a weapon where the white guys are going to win you some games in the playoffs. They can win you if Hauser and Pritchard can hit 10 threes in one or two games, win you two games. Like, come on, seriously, like, that's what you're going to ask for.
So I still think Horford, because he does so much defense.
I didn't count. Yeah, obviously.
He's number six.
Yeah, I didn't include him as part of the bench group. He's one of the starters, basically. Yeah, obviously Horford.
How deep does Joe go in the playoffs? Does he go up down to Cornette to eight?
If he needs him, it'll be about feel. I don't think so. If it's game seven against Milwaukee, he's playing seven guys. I mean, Tatum can play the whole half. Brown can play, I would imagine, pretty much the whole half. And you know the way Tatum can play. That's the thing. They don't have to go deep. I'd imagine Drew Holiday can play pretty much the whole half. Same thing with Derek White. You know, right. Need to breathe. If it's game six and seven, I said, no, if it's game six and seven versus Denver, they're playing six guys.
Right, and they run everybody. Tatum and Brown play the whole game. They're not in foul trouble, almost. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. So just a neat question to ask, because, you know, it's been a great unit. The starting five is just everybody, I think, can defend almost every position on the floor, except for Porzingis. He can't defend it. And pick and roll, when they screen Porzingis off, he could not handle what's his name. Murray down in Atlanta.
Oh my God, no, forget that game. And like I said, and you said they don't get credit till they win. It's like there's like the 2018 Red Sox. This is potentially an all-time great team.
That's a good.
They're potentially an all-time great team right here that gets zero credit for being an all-time great team. But again, that's fair because they haven't done anything.
That's a very good comparison.
But if they do it, they're a great team. There's nothing. What are you going to take away? I mean,
since you mentioned
Hall of Famers, maybe even three or four.
Right.
How things play out. It's just a great team.
Since you mentioned the Red Sox, let's switch over to baseball.
Opening day. I don't have my sunflower seeds. The big everything. It was a big sunflower seed. I might go buy them after this.
Did you actually? Do you really want sunflower seeds?
Yeah, Kevin was talking about it. He's like, I just want to eat sunflower seeds at work today and think about baseball. And then he got home. He went home, bought them, was like watching baseball, and I eating sunflower seeds. Yeah, I want to watch Cole Reagans and Tyler Glasnow pitch.
You want to see
40 and eat some sunflower seeds and see how the Celtics are doing against the Bucks.
Before we talk about the Sox, update on the Wilmington High School baseball team. They're 2-0. They've beaten Winchester and Lexington back-to-back. Aiden Balters pitched great. Spencer came in. Stayed two games. My team is 0-2. Struggled the first game with Winchester. Only lost 19-1. Second game last night, we only lost to 2-0. So we're getting better. We got started. We got a lot of games coming up. The high school team seems to be hopefully hitting their groove. Especially with Balter and Harper as our pitcher. I just wanted to give them a shout out real quick. Opening day wise, the news from the Red Sox, you know, they had a great start and O'Neill hit a home run today, but the news is just bad.
Yeah. They said Trevor Story was in tears in the locker room.
Yeah, Trevor Story, don't go there, please. He has never, he'll never, ever play a full season ever for that freaking $20 million or $22 million he gets a year.
Chris Sale's healthy.
So far. so far. Pavetta's hurt now.
Yeah.
You know, and
everyone in baseball is getting their elbows done right now. It's
so let me ask you the question about that then. Is it because of them throwing harder in spin rate, or is it because of the pitch clock?
I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. Someone knows. They know. I still think it's been like this for a while, and not this long, but I can't. The pitch clock's the pitch clock. It's got to be the way they're throwing.
Yes.
Everyone's trying to throw 100. Everyone's spinning. I don't know. I don't have the answer, but that's
well, you
have
Cole Reagans, right? He's on your fantasy team.
I feel like I'm in the clear with him.
He's got two, right?
I know. That's why I like it.
I read an article yesterday that a guy who did Dr. Tom Andrews said they used to do, you know, back 20 years ago, it was maybe 39 or 40 a year, Tommy John's. Now they're not doing like sub 13 year olds are getting it done. He said, it's nuts. It's completely nuts. So it's nuts. But the Red Sox, no story. So again, for all Heim Bloom defenders, even though the Red Sox didn't go full throttle, Heim Bloom didn't do much right here. He just didn't. You know, he did not do much right. He might have drafted okay, but Myers are, you know, Trevor Story, who else? Everybody else. He didn't even draft Tristan Cassius, who's struggling. But the Pivetta thing is interesting because they were killing him to 8 innings, and now he's elbow. Anytime I hear elbow. The other thing I heard was your boy Cole there. He was bitching about pitch count and pitch clocks and all that other bullshit. He's
nobody bitches like him. He's one of the all time. He's one of the all time crybaby.
He is
an all time crybaby. Oh, he's funny. Come on.
I think right now there's technically the super team, which is the Dodgers and the Braves, and even they're struggling with pitching injuries as well. So, yeah, it's who can stay healthy, and it's a long season, but who can stay healthy? And you're right, it was opening day today. Sunflower seeds, you'll have to go get some. Just make sure. I'm telling you, it was back to my kids. There are more different flavors of sunflower seeds than you'll ever imagine.
I like the original ones.
I do too, but they got this stuff. Do you want to try these? It's like jalapeno pepper and then like green eggs and ham. It's disgusting.
They have like dill pickle flavor.
Dill pickle. I almost stole your dill pickle today because it was in the office.
I wouldn't have ate those.
I didn't think so. There was somebody left the dill pickle in the office today. I was Greco, Chris, he's a big seed guy.
Yeah, I know. He's been
huge seed guy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, baseball's baseball. Fantasy's fun. We'll see what goes on. I don't know. The teams, we'll see how it shapes out. I think the Red Sox are about to really start sucking. I really do.
Well, they're finally playing a good team, right?
Yeah.
They faced a really good pitcher today in Corbin Burns. And they as much as we piss and moan about ownership and everything, they do ceremonies correct.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That was nice today. It's good to see. But again, I don't mention ownership. Who cares about ownership? But don't give them credit.
The Boston Globe, they did the fantasy hitting at the bar last weekend or 2 weekends ago. We couldn't go because I had team games. They actually did interviews of fans and what they thought about the curse. I was pissed and they didn't get an interview with me. I would have gone. I could have given them a whole spiel about it, about how Curt Schilling is the God blessing, God bless our God.
We don't care about Curt Schilling.
I know. That's it for the base. So the other big event, is there anything else before we go to the final big event that we need to cover today?
I didn't even know there's the big event. Good soccer stuff. We drew Liverpool at home, which is which hurts their title.
Hey, use crayons or did you use a pencil?
Yeah, we used Bruno Fernandes' like miracle goal from near the halfway line and Kobbie Mainoo outrageous goal from like inside the box, but phenomenal stuff. We played terrible. We tied.
Played terrible. And the Champions League was today, right? They're in the semifinals.
Yeah, two ties. The two good matchups were today. Madrid tied.
I just fell asleep for those.
Madrid tied City. They tied 3-3, and then Arsenal tied Munich 2-2. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah, the title race is as tight as can be between Arsenal, City, and Liverpool. Man United's done. We just got the only thing we have to look forward to. We get the FA Cup semifinal, and then we'll play in the final because we'll win. And then we'll get Arsenal at home the second to last game of the year, which could mean a lot.
That'll so be
that's,
fun.
That's something fun to look forward to. But the thing is, that could be a point where it's like, I think I want Arsenal to win the league over the other two. So
the other thing, just in soccer and football in general, there was the youth, the sub teams, the MLS young kids had tournament somewhere, and the team from Brazil came up, and there was a lot of racial slurs going back and forth. What the hell is wrong with soccer? Don't you have that problem in Europe too?
racial slurs, I guess. That's a lot of fan stuff. But what do you who
It was
what
players. It was young players under.
Was it like middle schoolers? Middle schoolers are like notorious for racial
No,
slurs and
whatever. It
stuff
was
like
probably the
that.
U18s. U16s.
Well, that's yeah,
U18.
that's they
What
speak
the
different
hell?
languages. What do they call them? I don't know.
I
Well,
don't
they
know.
can still
I
not
just read
Brazilian.
that they
I thought you
suspended.
were going to tell me like the Brazilian can smoke them, which I would have loved.
No, they lost. The Philadelphia Union team beat the Flamengo, whatever the team was. Good team from Brazil,
Well,
but.
that's because like you're talking U18s, like Endrick, he's the guy who's going to play for Real Madrid. He's 17.
Maybe it was didn't have him.
The good player, Pele's are they're already playing up.
Right. So, but the Union
Those
played.
American guys are going to go in the into the MLS and just
And then you
be.
know how you know, this is even better. I saw
So are the Brazil
a
guys,
video.
though.
You know what, how they in the NCAA they take the thing and they slap it on the on your name on the advance.
No.
Well,
Oh, yeah, the bracket. Okay, yeah.
so for this tournament they were doing that, and the Philadelphia Union kids were about to slap it on, and the team from Brazil came up ready to beat the crap out of them. It was just funny. Kids everywhere trying to fight. Anything for soccer, what I would
I
say.
like that. That's good.
Anything for
Just
soccer,
told me it
but.
was so boring, and then you give me that story.
Well, that's not bored. It's the other thing back to
Well,
fight.
the biggest racial thing in soccer, the issue is with Vinicius Jr., who plays for Real Madrid. He gets racially abused all over the place in Spain. It's like they can't do anything. They can't stop it.
But
These Spanish people are nuts. He's Brazilian.
not to digress or anything, but there's been a lot of major hockey fights like right on the drops too. It's just weird. Why is fighting coming back in hockey? It's just stupid. It's
Well,
stupid.
fighting that they do that. I remember who's doing the on the Capitals that everyone hates, Tom something.
Ovechkin? Oh.
Tom, no, Tom. I forget his
Yeah,
last
I
name.
know who you
Tom.
mean. I don't know who you mean.
I want to say Ford. Obviously, it's not Tom Ford. That's but Tom something. And they all fought. He did. He had that cheap hit. The next game, they dropped the opening face off, and everyone fights. It was
Right.
just that. That's funny about hockey. But
That's
yes.
funny. That's funny. That used to be the game. I grew up with that. That's the game when 70s that all they did was fight. It was just
Tom Wilson.
well, this is a battle royale. Every Dave Schultz for the Flyers and Terry O'Reilly for the Bruins and Stan Johnson for the Bruins. They just would drop them and do. I don't get why, but you know, every football they're hitting you hard. You're not dropping them and punching the guy in the head. So okay, on to the final major event this week. And you and I will probably spend a lot of our time.
It's funny. Wait, imagine you just like started fighting people in football. You took off
That
your
would be
helmet.
hilarious.
It
Yeah.
is. It's like you're playing a sport and they just have fighting. It's one of the strangest. It's funny, but it's like what? It doesn't make any
Stupid.
sense.
What does it do? Even a baseball fight. What the hell is it?
Baseball fights are just the baseball fights are the
They just
silliest.
grab each other and push and they take notes down and get who are you going for dinner tonight, stuff like that. All right, let's get off the fighting and sports and soccer and all the stuff. And we got the Masters this weekend. And it's a
No
big
fighting in golf.
huh? They
There's
might
no fighting in golf.
Patrick Reed's playing this weekend. You could be fighting with him. I wouldn't be shocked. So Patrick Reed, Bubba Watson, defending champ too. Nobody liked him either.
He's fighting the rules officials more than their
Right,
opponents.
right. So I got the Masters coming up. What's your you'll be watching, I'm sure. It's a nice course to watch. Just on the
Really? It's a nice course to watch. I didn't know.
yeah, I know. I'm just giving our audience
Where
a.
are they playing it at this year?
I think they're playing it at Augusta National again. Okay, back to what's your favorite hole to watch?
I don't know. I guess that I don't really have a favorite
Come
hole.
on.
No, I
Went
really
from
don't.
11
I
to
like
18. Which was
ooh, I hate 12 because what happened to Spieth there? What's the par 5? I think it's 15 with like the water in the back.
Waters in the front. No, in reality, it is. That's towards 16.
Yeah, no, Hideki hit it in the water off the back of the green when I was rooting for Zalatoris.
That's in
The
the
14?
that's 15, but that water's where you hit over to get to 16.
Okay, so I 15 is what I'm thinking then.
But 15's got water in the front, and then if
Yeah,
you
with
hit
a little
it,
bridge on the side.
yes, and if you hit it
Okay, I'll
long,
go 15 then.
I
You know
love
what?
eleven.
I like two. I like two.
Two because of the long par five that everybody can put birdie.
Yeah, and the Albatross. What's his name at
That
the
was
Albatross?
eight. He missed.
Who stays?
That was on eight, not two.
Oh, well, I get all of them wrong.
You got them all wrong. And I like 11, which is the downhill right before Amen Corner, green slope and into the pond. And you have to be perfect with it. Or everyone hits right. Everyone hits right. Everyone hits right. And you chip it on. If you chip before, Larry Mize won the, I think Larry Mize won his Masters there with a chip in from on 11 in a playoff. So, all right, who should we look at? Who, we got the Liv. versus the PGA. We've got John Rahm, who's LIV, talking to, we're going to go to 72 holes, which would screw up the LIV name, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're having the dinner tonight. Are they there right now?
Yeah, I got the.
Did Phil go this year?
Who?
Did Phil go this year?
Oh, yeah, because Johnny Rahm's there. Definitely probably went. I don't think they have anything up yet. Latest photos, no. They have his menu up here. Tapas, it's all in Spanish.
Yeah, his menu's, it's a pretentious menu. We get it. John Rahm, we get it. John Rahm, I just hope John Rahm doesn't win. He won't. I like Scottie Scheffler 4-1. Everyone likes Scottie Scheffler. How can you not like Scottie Scheffler? He's going to drop some putts. He's going to win. You're going to pick somebody else, but Scottie Scheffler, he's the Yukon of golf right now.
I know he's the Yukon of golf, but he still has to make putts.
Thanks.
I'd say that makes putts. And he hasn't been on form.
All right, who's your pick? Give me another pick. So I'll take him. I take Spieth in every tournament. I take Zalatoris in every tournament. So I'll take those three.
All right, I'm going to stick with I'm going to go with Rory because I think it's about time he wins. It all depends if he gets a good start. And I think it's like I like to look at the like a not a dark horse, but somebody who's not like Tom Kim, somebody like that who's young, not well known, who comes through. It's usually somebody who's in the top at the top of the game though. And then I definitely won't go with Koepka. I definitely went with Patrick Reed. You made the mention of Johnson, DJ, and I would say that'd be.
You don't know his first name.
I called him Dennis Johnson.
Dustin
Johnson. I brain fart on that. I'm going to actually tell you. I'm going to look at the list right here and tell you Danny Willett will not win.
Thanks. Well, you don't have to go through the list. All right. Dustin Johnson was like my little. He's not really a sleeper because he's got the course record. But
yeah, course record.
I kind of feel like he, like I said, him as like the story. His story would be like it's the worst storyline. Him winning because he's a LIV guy, but he doesn't really care about LIV. It wouldn't be that like dramatic. Nobody really is thinking about DJ right now. He's just his laid back guy. So it'd be the worst story. It'd be like the least entertaining storyline.
Okay, the next guy I'll ask you about, DeChambeau.
I forgot he existed. Yeah, Bryson. I don't know. Bryson, the best clip ever, and I'm sure this guy's playing this year. One of the best golf clips of all time. I could watch it all day. Like, it might not even be that entertaining to people. There's two, actually. Bryson has the one at the Ryder Cup. It's not even what I'm talking about. The one at the Ryder Cup where he hits it, like, over the water or whatever, and the camera, like, has to move 100 yards to find it. And then the announcer's like, that can't be real. One of the best golf videos ever. The one I'm talking about, though, it also involves Bryson hitting bombs. It's a video of them on the driving range at Augusta, and DJ Sin's just standing there with his driver in his hand, looking at him like 10-year-old kid seeing his like hero, just with like a smile on his face, and you can just keep seeing his head move, watching all the bomb. And Bryson's, you know, that like violent, like super hard swing, he just keeps doing it, and you can just see DJ keeps looking. It's one of the best things ever. That's all I remember about Bryson. I forgot he existed.
I think he changed his swing. He's not hitting the bombs like he used to. He's changed a little bit because he's thinned up a little bit. Next guy.
I saw Bryson because we had the U.S. Open was in Boston the other
– Right.
Whatever, 2 years ago. I was at the practice round just randomly. Bryson was – all of a sudden, I'm standing there. Bryson's ball's right in front of me. He was in like the rough. He took, probably hit like a 170, 180 yard shot. Took the biggest divot I've ever seen, just the strongest swing I've ever seen. It's a big dude.
All right, Tony Finau.
Forget him. He's done. He can't win.
Phil Mickelson.
Laughter. He finished in like second last year.
But yeah, laughter. I know. Tied for, he was a backdoor. He's the classic Rory backdoor 65 second. Patrick Cantlay, your favorite player.
Phil probably bet on Scheffler. Cantlay, nah.
Ricky Fowler.
Nope. Not even close. Poor Jay Trev. Hideki, I don't know. I'm going to say no to all these guys. So no.
How about Justin Thomas?
No.
I don't think I'll ever win.
He's left this. Just broke up with his caddy, all this stuff.
Oh, my God.
He's not going to win.
How about this guy, Matt Fitzpatrick?
He could win. That's like a guy who I would not be stunned if I saw him wearing the green jacket.
Here's one I forgot about is Xander Schauffele. He's been top five a lot of the tournaments.
He'll never win. He just got that feel to him.
Your favorite player of all time? Wyndham Clark?
I guess he could win.
That's a good pairing. Wyndham Clark, Victor Hovland, Cam Smith. Cam Smith will win.
Like I said, if you're actively rooting for him on Sunday, you're a loser. A loser.
Cam Smith?
No. Well, yeah, him too. But any live guy, you're a loser.
Victor Hovland. I'd vote for Victor.
Hovland's been horrible, I heard. So
he's
no.
Been terrible this year, right?
All right. And then the one guy that everyone cares about, Tiger Woods.
Tiger, if he makes the cut, will be successful because it'll be the 25th straight cut he made, which will tie the record, will break the record because he had 24, like Fred Couples, a couple other people. I love Tiger Tuesdays. You know it's Tuesday the Master when what, Jack?
Well, I said, you know, like Monday or Tuesday, Masters week, every single year. Like, every single time he does play, it's like, well, Tiger's not here just to play. Tiger's here to win. Tiger feels like he's got one more. And then it's always like clockwork. Look it up. It'll be a Fred Couples quote from out in the course. Tiger's striking the ball amazingly. I played 9 with him. He didn't miss a shot. He could win this thing. Tiger Woods, let me tell you right now, is not winning this. It could be 1,000,000 to 1. You could bet. I wouldn't tell you to bet a penny on that. That'd be a waste of a penny. It'd be a waste of a penny.
I gotta remember.
He is not. He's not winning. I don't think he's odds. The bet here is: will we see Tiger wear red this week? He might make the cut. He's not wearing red. He is not making it to Sunday physical.
I would say I go yes. We see him wear red.
That's the bet. No, the bet. The bet prop would be Tiger to make the cut, but to not play on Sunday. That's the bet.
That's a good bet. I'll take it.
He'll drop out on Saturday when he.
I would say make the cut, and it depends on.
He'll shoot like a 42 on the front nine on Saturday and then leave. That's what he does all the time.
He definitely did that last year.
All
the time. A couple of years ago, he hit like a 10 on number 12 and come back and finished with 7 straight birdies. Don't give me that shit. You don't even
That's
know.
That's a lie. What, a couple of years ago, when? 2001?
No, back before right before he won the championship. Again. He did win. Hey, he's fun to have. You got to have him in the game.
It's great. It's better when he's there than when he's not.
Look a little old.
He doesn't. I feel like he hasn't got as much like attention as he normally does, though. There's almost more attention. I'm not going to lie to you right now, and this is the first time I've ever felt this way going into a major tournament that Tiger plays in. I think there's more attention right now on Jon Rahm than there is on Tiger. Jon Rahm, I think, is the star of this Masters because he just had the live move. He's the defending champion. He's made a lot of comments recently about pretty much showing that he regrets leaving without saying it. He's been a baby about the whole thing. He's the one where all the attention's on him. I think he's getting more attention this week than Tiger is.
There's probably 15 golfers getting more attention than Tiger. Tiger came under the radar. Tiger was.
I would agree. He has come on under the radar.
So you know what? It's great.
I don't think anyone takes him seriously anymore.
No.
Like, no one's really, like, the 2019 thing's rubbed off where no one's actually, like, Tiger's here to win. But, again, on Tuesday, here's Tiger. He's going to win.
It's just funny that you say that in that Mickelson finished second. The course plays
and
the
left. Wasn't close.
I know it wasn't close. But the course plays the guy like Mickelson's game a little bit. Tiger's problem is he can't walk the course. Tiger's problem is not his golf. It's probably he can't walk the course. I mean, you can't walk the course, you can't play. They've offered him a cart, and he's refused.
You can't take a cart.
But you know what? If it's a 54, after the 54 hole lead, it'll be one of the live guys, and they'll choke in them like Koepka did last year because they don't know how to play 72 holes.
Yeah, all right.
I really think there's one of the guys, Victor Hovland types, but Hovland, Finau, Thigala, Will Zou.
I just want Scheffler to win.
Nah, I don't want Scheffler.
I like golf. Scheffler's
made like 20 cuts in a row. He doesn't make the cut.
I like somebody dominating golf. And if Scheffler can win this Masters here, he's really been dominating golf. And if you think about him winning this Masters, the story of him going next is PGA, right? The story of him going to that PGA championship is going to, it'll be, we're talking about Jon Rahm getting attention now. If he's got the Masters and he's in the form he's been playing in, him going to that PGA, people are going to be talking Grand Slam already.
Going to the PGA, though, no matter the talk about going to the PGA, will be about Koepka because Koepka's won the PGA and the US Open.
No.
Those are two
terms. It'll be about Scheffler having already won major this year, playing the best golf we've seen since probably Tiger Woods.
Well, you know, you don't remember. Rory had a great 4-year stretch. Spieth had a great 3-year stretch.
Again, I don't think they were ever this good.
Back to back to back.
Yeah, they did win.
Koepka won.
I agree, but Koepka didn't play as good golf consistently like Jeff or whatever.
We no, I agree with you on that.
I got to go watch bait. I got to go get some
good golf talk today, Jack. We'll see you next week when we come back. How your prediction made. If Tiger does win,
if Tiger does win, can I
play that clip?
No, if Tiger wins, well, I'm never doing this podcast again. This is the
no, line. I don't say that.
Okay, well, you think Tiger's if Tiger wins,
I'm playing. Oh, here we go. This will be fun. For all our listeners out there, here comes Jack's if Tiger wins bet.
I don't know. I can't think of something like golf wise to punish myself. If Tiger,
okay, well, if it, wins, I listen, the odds of Tiger winning are slim and none, and Slim has probably left the building, so it's probably a moot point. The odds of Tiger playing on Sunday, I think, are better than you give him. This is his tournament. It's his course. Because he plays this course all the time, he knows the ins and outs.
If Tiger wins, I won't watch the first round of the playoffs for the Celtics.
There you go. Jack said it. This is the first round. Episode 34, if it all boils down to this, Jack will not watch the first round of the playoffs if Tiger Woods wins.
And it really should be the whole playoffs.
No. You're not going to win. You know, that's
Tiger's not going to win.
But what if he does?
Let's not.
That's not hyperbole. Let's stick with the first round. All right? It's good talk, but just the first round. Anything else you want to say to our fans out there?
I will watch the Red Sox. That's what I'll do.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You're going Friday night, right?
I think. Yeah, I got to figure that out.
Go get me. It's going to rain. Get me a bobble. I got to go to Watertown for baseball Friday.
It's going to rain. All right. Yeah, let's end the show. It's going
to
rain.
All right. So for Jack Boyle, for episode 34 of It All Boils Down to This, Jack Boyle, thanks a lot, Jack. We'll be back next week. And this is Jim Boyle, and we'll see you on down the road.
We'll have a mock draft from Jay Treb next week.
Okay, Jack always screws my ending up. So, yes, we'll have a mock draft from Ben, and we'll see you on down the road.
Thanks for listening to this episode of It All Boils Down to This, recorded at WCTV Studios in our hometown of Wilmington, Massachusetts. We are always open to any ideas, critiques, topics, and guests. So if anyone out there in podcast world needs to get a hold of us, we can be reached via email at jboyle22@comcast.net. Along with Jack Boyle, I'm Jim Boyle. Make sure to tune in to the next edition of It All Boils Down to This.